The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Well, sorry, you don't get the big toe today. Tom Leach, of course, down in Baton Rouge last night for the Kentucky-LSU game. So Shannon the Dude has gone to the bullpen. There's only one short, fat guy left warming up. Ryan Lemon called out of the bullpen for this morning's edition of the Leach Report. Good morning, Mr. Dude.
Bring in the righty. I was walking out to the mound tapping my right hand.
Bring in the righty that throws the 30-mile-an-hour fastball.
Do you know a knuckleball?
I can throw it, but it's not good.
No.
Not good.
We'll take it.
Yeah. So you know, it's a good day to come in following a Kentucky win. So many times I get called out of the bullpen, and it's after a Kentucky loss. Those shows are not fun. But last night, in a pretty tough environment, with some guys battling the flu, Kentucky battled, came back and won the game 74-71 at LSU last night. I mean, I left feeling pretty good about it. Like I said, it wasn't their best game. There were times where it seemed like Kentucky could not guard anybody, but they found a way to win by going inside to P.J. Washington in the second half. He just kind of dominated the second half. And Shea Alexander, I mean, it has become, for the moment, Shea Alexander's team. I mean, he had those back-to-back 20-point games with Louisville and Georgia, and then last night he had 13 of his 18 in the second half and just took over. So, Shannon, I mean, he didn't come in highly ranked. You know, he didn't have all the accolades of these other guys. But right now, he is Kentucky's best player, and this is his team.
No doubt about it. Definitely the most valuable player so far. But I'll say this, though. Looking at Kentucky's schedule, the fact that it was January 3rd and this was their first true road game, which, how does that even happen, first of all? How do you
Good
schedule
point.
That? But
I
to
know.
Take a bunch of freshmen on the road in their first true road environment, they showed a lot of maturity, I think, especially in the second half. You got to be happy with that win last night.
I totally agree. And we talked about on the pregame show, this being the first true road test. Like you said, Shannon, going to somebody's home floor. Now, they've been on the road. They played in New York. A neutral floor. They played in New Orleans on a neutral floor. This is the first time to go someplace, and LSU is not an easy place to play. I was impressed.
Yeah.
They really didn't seem rattled. Did they to you?
No, they didn't. You see this every year. You can throw the rankings out and the records. When you go on the road in the SEC, it's really a toss-up every time. And I was impressed with,
I was
especially
too.
The second half, how they came out after the first half. Didn't look great in the first half. That second half, I was really impressed with how they played.
And then Cal says after the game that Hamidou Diallo and Nick Richards and Sasha Kalea-Jones had all been battling a bug, a virus of some sort. And Sasha Kalea-Jones, I thought, played really well. You know, he didn't light up the stat sheet, but he gave you a lot of good minutes and played well. So you didn't get really anything from Hami or Nick Richards. But P.J. Washington stepped up. I mean, like I said earlier, there were times where Kentucky could not guard LSU, it seemed like. Well, then it seemed like LSU had no answer for P.J. Washington. He had those three dunks in a row, Shannon,
yeah,
that kind of really sparked Kentucky.
Went right down the middle of the lane like nobody could,
yeah,
stop him. It's like he just did whatever he wanted to down there.
Now, with that said, the best player on the floor was the littlest guy on the floor. That Tremont Waters,
dude,
is awesome.
He is special.
He is.
And LSU gets
goodness.
These recruits, you know, like Ben Simmons and then this dude. And, you know, every now and then they can really surprise you with some of these players that they end up getting.
I guess, you know, they told his story a couple times last night. He's from Connecticut, originally signed with Georgetown. But then when John Thompson III was let go, he reopened his recruitment. But, you know, they said, you know, he had offers from Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina. He had offers from everybody. Everybody knew he was good. ends up at LSU, and he was the best player on the floor last night.
How does that happen, by the way? What do you think?
I don't know.
Why did he go to LSU? Do we need to be investigating LSU?
Maybe so.
But a lot of these teams are doing that, though. Look at what Vandy's doing next year.
You're right.
The two guys they're bringing in for the first time.
Matt always says, you know, when one of these high-profile guys does not go to Kentucky, that's what you need to start looking into.
Yeah.
Why did they not go to Kentucky or Duke or even Kansas, for that matter? But he was good, man. He could handle the basketball. He had 18 points, 11 rebounds. The little guy had 11 rebounds. He was a handful. He blew right past Quade a couple times, but Shea Alexander finally kind of slowed him down some in the second half. So he's good. All right, Bleach Report served up by Wild Eggs. And that was our Wildcat News of the Day, presented by Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Links to all these stories on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. All right, coming up in the show, Todd Lanter is going to join us. He's going to break down the Kentucky win last night over LSU. Later, we got Justin Rowland as well. But when we come back, the Colonel is going to lead us off. John P. Short, Kentucky Colonel. When we come back on the Leach Report.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Attaboy, Shannon. Little Darius Rucker to start your morning. Come on, man. Nothing gets you going more better than little Darius Rucker in the morning.
I can barely contain myself right now.
I woke up again this morning. Yeah, you know, he was tweeting after South Carolina had won the Outback Bowl. He's a big South Carolina fan.
Of course.
That's his only fault, really, that I see.
Yeah.
We're sitting there last night watching the UK game, and my wife, Amanda, goes, "So when do I get to be your profile picture on Twitter again?"
It's been you and Darius for how long now?
That's right. I said, whenever you pass up Darius Rucker.
Oh, man.
Is my favorite.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think she went to bed.
Those are strong words. Especially to say to your wife.
Living my shoes. Welcome back to Leach Report, presented by Wild Eggs. Apparently, Todd Lanter is in our parking lot. Is that right, Shane? He's out in the parking lot?
He is out there.
Says he'll be in a minute.
He will be there. He said that the drivers are crazy.
Must be doing some moving and some shaking out there.
Yeah.
But we do have on the line Kentucky Colonel, the president of the Romney Road HOA Association. He is the long-living legend that is John P. Short. Hello, John Short.
Hello, Ryan Lemon.
Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, great American.
What time did you wake up this morning, John?
About 4:30.
John, yep. That's way too early, son. Way too early.
Well, I haven't got up, so there we go.
Did Mama make you some vittles?
Yeah, I had cinnamon toast and bacon.
Cinnamon toast and bacon. Well, that's like a good breakfast. Have you already taken Ellie Mae out for her walk?
I did.
Oh, John, it's cold. I mean, it's really cold this morning.
I know it.
Does Ellie Mae have a jacket that she wears?
Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's not.
Well, I hope you put it on this morning. It was cold this morning.
I had mine on this morning. Ellie Mae didn't have hers on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How long is your walk with Ellie Mae? How long do you go?
Sometimes in the yard, sometimes you go find things. Circle, sometimes you go around the whole block. So there.
Yeah,
we go.
When you go around the whole block over there where you live, what does that take you, about 15 minutes?
No, the whole block, I go down to Sam Fontaine intersection, then go to Richmond Road, Allen's, and that Richmond Road, that's Browners Lane.
Gotcha. Well, I guess you had to be happy with Kentucky winning that game last night.
Game-dandy game last night.
How many biggins did you predict?
10 biggins. That's a total Dick Gabriel a couple nights ago.
10 biggins. They won by 3, 74-71, so they didn't cover the John Short spread, but you got to be happy.
I know. Nick Gabriel predicted it would be a lot closer than what it was. He figured we were winning, he thought it would be a lot closer than what it was.
See? He knows a lot more than we do, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yes, he does. Now, you got how many biggins will the women win tonight?
5 biggins tonight.
5 biggins at Texas A&M, right?
That's right.
The women have lost 6 in a row, John.
First time since 2004-2005 season.
What do you think about that?
That's not good.
Well, they've got Texas A&M at Texas A&M tonight. And then they've got Georgia at home this weekend on Sunday.
At 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. So maybe they get back on the winning track, John.
I know, because it goes me too. If we can't have the exhibition game, we're 9-7.
You know, Todd Lanter's in studio here with us today. What do you know about Todd Lanter?
He's the son of Bo Lanter.
He is the son of Bo Lanter. That's right. You remember what number he was? You remember what number he was?
See, Bo Lanter was number 12. I know that.
Is that right? Was your dad number 12?
Yep.
Yep. He says you're right.
And so he walked on the middle of the 78-79 season after Chuck Alcindor and Tim Stevens left. But then we needed another player, so Bo Lanter walked on.
How about that? Like father, like son.
I know. Transferred
that's right.
In, but, just like me, too.
That's right. And Bo Lanter graduated in 1982 along with Chuck Berdurber.
That's right.
You don't doubt John. You don't doubt him. All right, John. Well, you have a good day, and you stay warm today.
Okay, Doug. We're going to be Tennessee Saturday night by 5 Vegas. It'll be a barn burner. That's right. You don't hear barn burner anymore. Kay would say that all the time when you call the games. It's going to be a barn burner.
That's right. That was Kay Wood's thing. It was going to be a barn burner.
That's right.
All right, John. Well, stay warm today.
Okie dokie.
Peace out, homie.
Peace out, homie.
All right. That's my buddy, John Short. Welcome in, Todd Lanter, to the Leach Report. They said you were out in the parking lot. Were you doing some wheeling and dealing, making some deals out there?
Yeah, figured so.
You got to.
Yeah.
Mover and a shaker.
I know. It's too early for not to make a business.
Plus, it's so cold, you don't want to get out of your car.
That's actually the truth. That's what it was.
So what did you think about the game last night?
I actually thought it would be as close as it was.
Yeah.
I told my buddy right before it started. He actually had it paused. I was about 10 minutes late to his house last night because didn't realize.
You were moving and shaking out in the parking lot.
Same thing. So he had it paused when I walked in, and he was like, I've already seen the first play 5 times, but I need you to go ahead and make a prediction because, you know, I got to see if you're right for the game. And I said, I think it's going to come down to the last possession, and we'll end up pulling it out.
Yeah, well, that's
so, that's easy to say now, but that's actually what happened. So, but I did expect them to give us a pretty tough game down there. That Waters kid is tough.
And Shannon and I were talking before you came in. He was the best player on the floor last night.
He was.
Dude is awesome.
He's much better. I knew he was good, but he's much better than
I'm with you. Guy can shoot. I mean, deep NBA range. Mm-hmm. Handled the basketball. Plays good defense. Had 11 rebounds last night.
He controlled the pace of everything. I mean, and he's a floor general, and that's what that team needs. And LSU's a tough place to play. I think you mentioned a couple times how loud it was down there.
Yeah. Without students. Students aren't even back yet.
Yeah. And to coach a freshman team in an arena that the team can't hear you calling plays and making adjustments, it's a tough place to play.
That's what kind of made me proud of what we saw last night, especially when we found out after the game that Hami Diallo and Nick Richards and Sasha Clay Jones all kind of battling a flu bug.
Mm-hmm.
They still went down and battled in a tough environment and win the game.
Yeah, I was very impressed with all of them. They stepped up.
The thing that I liked the best, I think, Shea Alexander took over in the second half. I mean, it is his team right now.
Mm-hmm.
13 of his 18. He finally slowed down Waters a little bit defensively. He was guarding him on that last shot even. He just took over, man. It is his team.
Yeah, I've said from the beginning, any time I've had the opportunity or the platform to talk about it, how much Cal wants to hand the reins over to the point guard of whatever team it is he's coaching that year. And this year we didn't know if that was going to be Shea or Quade.
Right.
And Shea's really emerged as a leader and the passion behind this team. And I think if we can get them to rally behind him like that, with the passion that he plays with, we're going to.
I agree. And it was good, you know, P.J. Washington stepped up. They had no answer for him in the second half. He was kind of free running, free on that baseline, had those 3 dunks in a row. LSU couldn't stop him.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, like we've talked about, Cal looks to get players in a scoring position where they're going to be best suited on the floor for them to make a basketball play. And we found PJs finally.
Yeah.
It's taken a little while, but that's the place where he's tough. And the problem with guarding our teams is if you can figure out how to stop that position, you're leaving something else open. And that's why it's so beneficial for a team like, or for a coach like Cal to have multiple scoring threats in different positions that are good at one little thing, because if they take one thing away, they have to leave something else open. And
he
always can figure out what that is.
Matt and I talked going into the game who was going to be maybe that dog that kind of maybe thrives in that environment on an opponent's home floor where everybody's yelling at you. We kind of thought it'd be Hami, But obviously, since he wasn't feeling what wasn't him, ended up being PJ.
Yeah.
The guy that he just kind of started thriving on, it seemed like.
Yeah, surprised me, too. I was thinking it was going to be Kevin Knox, and he started off, I think he was pretty close to a double-double in the first half.
Yeah.
He had 10-8. And got the double. He did finish.
He finished with 16-11.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
So he came out strong in the first half, and they tried to make adjustments to take him away. And PJ stepped up. I mean, PJ had I think one bucket in the first half, and then the second half 16 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And like you said, once he got a little taste of that,
kind of fueled him, didn't it?
He started swelling up a little bit, and we haven't seen that side of it.
All right, he is Todd Lanter. We'll take a break. If you want to give us a phone call, we'll talk about the Cats' win last night over LSU. 502-571-1080, 877-904-1080. The Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. We'll be right back.
Get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Attaboy, Shannon. This is a highly underrated Darius Rucker song, by the way. This is a good one.
Aren't they all?
I was going to say, they're all underrated as far as I'm concerned.
Are you a Darius Rucker guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See?
Great in concert.
That's why Todd and I are buds. That's why we're bros. We like little Darius Rucker.
This is an extreme hot take, but I saw him do Purple Rain. Like 4 or 5 years ago in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I think he was better than...
See, I said that on this show, and I got...
That's why I'm saying...
Oh, crucified.
But he was phenomenal.
Outstanding. I was there. Hell, I'm always there when he's around here. I was at the same concert you were.
Yeah. If he comes within a 300-mile radius, you're there.
I'm there. although I did, I went this whole calendar year and didn't see him. 2017, I did not see Darius Rucker. So I'm twice in 2016... Only once in 2017. I didn't see him at all in 2017. Leach Report, brought to you, served up by Wild Eggs. Ryan Lemon in for Tom Leach this morning. We got Todd Lanter here in the studio. We got a short segment here. We got to take a break. Talk about the game last night. This stretch where they've got 4 out of 5 on the road, they can't drop any of these games they're supposed to win because there are so many ridiculously hard road games coming up. So, no, you got Tennessee coming up on the road Saturday. You got at Vandy. These are the games at South Carolina. They got to win them. They got to get these now because the schedule's so tough in February. You know what I mean?
You going to me?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to him. I agree. I mean, people don't realize that even though these teams aren't necessarily highly rated, how tough they are. I mean, they're Division I power conference teams, and most of them are extremely well coached, and most of them know what we're going to run. And they're coaching and playing against 5 freshmen. It's a tough thing to do to go on the road and win a ball game.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard Coach Cal say it too, where everybody's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's kind of something likes.
When you're packing out every arena that are otherwise empty, I mean, imagine the home team players that are getting hyped up to play this game.
Yeah.
They don't want to go in there and get embarrassed.
Yeah. So now they got Tennessee on Saturday. I saw Tennessee and Auburn play, I guess that was Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's good. I mean, Auburn beat them in Knoxville, but Tennessee's good.
Yeah, and Cal's biggest loss in his career on the road, well, actually in general, I think, was at
Tennessee. And Tennessee's got some big guys that they got some people that cause us problems. At Williams, dude, he's a load down low. He's tough.
Yeah, yeah, and, I mean, good. Challenge him early.
So, Sasha Clay-Jones, stay healthy. We need you. All right, we'll take a break, come back. More with Todd Lanter here on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. Don't go away.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
All right, welcome back. Ryan Lemon, Shan the Dude, Todd Lanter here on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. Tom, of course, down in Baton Rouge last night for Kentucky's win in their first true road game of the year at LSU, 74-71. Todd Lanter and I, we've been talking a lot about the game, so let's just kind of go through, since we've started conference play now, 2-0 in conference, let's just go through some of the guys and you tell me what you've seen or what needs to happen or what you've liked so far from him. We'll just start with, we've already talked to him about him a lot. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like I say, he's kind of taken over. Even though he doesn't start, it's become his team right now.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with him. I knew very, very little about him starting off the year. Going in to see workouts, he's clearly an athlete. He hustles. He's the one guy, to me, that's no matter what Cal throws at him in practice, you know, he could get upset at a decision he makes on the practice floor and have him start running sprints or whatever, and Shea's going to smile.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, is just, you know, what else you got?
Plus, after he cut his hair, he became a superstar.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Well, I mean, I just like his passion is obviously transparent. I mean, you can see it during games and stuff, but people don't realize that that's just like his personality from what I've seen, at least. And he just kind of was like, throw it at me. What else you got? I'm here.
So maybe we need to give Nick Richards a haircut, get him going.
That would be a very smart move on Cal's part. I think we should do that.
You know, he had the good game early. He was putting up good numbers in limited amount of minutes there for a long time. But last three games, he got in foul trouble against Georgia. Mm-hmm. He was sick last night. He's just, you know, hasn't brought much. Sasha's taking his minutes right now.
Yeah, and that's surprising to me, too. Sasha, to me, and we're a little biased here about the development process, how fast it should happen. Sasha's on a regular college athlete's learning curve. I mean, he came in, didn't play a whole lot as a freshman, and, you know, starting to step in, figure out his role, and get his body right and learn his skill set. And he's earning his minutes. But, you know, we kind of expected Nick come in, big body, strong guy, highly rated, to just dominate.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's kind of in the same boat. He's learning where he fits and how he fits into the offense and how he plays with these guys he's got surrounding him. We've seen glimpses of it. And I think we'll see him more and more often as we get into the postseason. But, yeah, we need that from him. We need a bit. Sasha can give us certain things, but Nick can only give us, Nick can give us things that Sasha can't.
Yes, yes.
We need that too.
Nick's kind of more of the rim protector,
yeah.
But Sasha's been playing really well defensively. Like I said, he didn't put up a lot of things that's going to show up in the stat sheet, but he missed a couple wide open looks last night.
Yeah, he
but he's been playing well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm impressed. Like I said, he's progressing as quickly as a normal 4-year guy would, and we're just not used to seeing that.
Well, let's talk about the other than the old guy on the team, Wenyen Gabriel.
Yeah, the old guy.
A sophomore, the old guy.
I know.
Hit a huge shot last night.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Hit some big free throws last night. You're not going to get 10 points from him all the time, but if he can knock down that three when you need it, that's how valuable he is.
Yeah, I hesitate to use the word consistency because of what you just said. Sometimes he's going to hit shots and sometimes he's not, but I think you're going to consistently get the effort from him. And he's going to consistently play his role. He's not going to get the ball and make a play that Cal's not approved of him to make. He might not always be hitting his shots, but he's going to consistently stay within the offense and take his shots as they come to him.
Yeah.
And that's what we can expect from him.
You know, I said he hit two free throws. Now that I think about it, I think he missed them.
I know he missed one.
He missed one. It was big.
Yeah. PJ missed a pretty big one, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've gotten better on free throw shooting, which it hasn't been great, but it's
because Shea Alexander's like shooting 92%, whatever he is. What about Quade Green?
I like Quade. You know, he needs to work on staying on the ball. I mean, his on ball defense is
lacking. Waters just blew past him a couple times.
We just can't give up. The one thing you can't give up is straight line drives.
Yeah.
If there's just if you're blown past, you know, from the head of the key or whatever, and we have to draw over another defender to help, it leaves open shots in the corners. And that happened to PJ one time last night when Waters got by. I think it was Quade. I don't want to put him on an island, but I think it was Quade. Got by him and kicked to the corner. And PJ came over to help, and we gave up a corner three. And Cal went absolutely berserk because the one rule is we don't give up corner threes. So even though he was beat, Quade was beat, PJ had to stay put and not give up the three-point basket. Cal's philosophy on that is it's, you know, it's a jump shot. D1 players are supposed to make jump shots. So stay on the band, give up the layup, and take the three away. But when you force PJ to make that kind of a decision as an 18-year-old kid, it makes it tough.
What about PJ Washington? Obviously, he had the big game last night, but he's been so inconsistent. We've seen glimpses of it. Mm-hmm. But the guy last night's the guy that can help us as we get ready to play some of these really big SEC teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me give you a name. How do you feel about his comparison to Alex Poythress?
It's fair.
Because
they're athletic, but yet they seem to disappear at times.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
We get these glimpses of his just I mean, his athleticism is dominant, and that's why he was able to do what he was able to do last night in such a short amount of time. I don't know how comparable their skill sets are necessarily, but he needs to feed off of that energy. That,
right.
That, like, I've always told Alex, I was like, if I was built like you, I would foul out with five charges every single game. You'd have to strap me to the bench to keep me from going and trying to dunk on everybody. And I'd at least like to see a little bit of that from him. Now,
yeah.
I mean, obviously we'd make adjustments as he starts to behave that way, but at least show me that's what you want. Go put it on somebody's head and come back down and try to do it again and charge. Fine. Then we'll figure out how to constrain
just,
that.
Just go strong and hard to the basket. How about Alex getting the 2-year deal with the Pacers, by the way?
I know. I'm so proud of him.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
To go from undrafted to the D-League to a 10-day contract. Now he's got a guaranteed 2-year contract with the Pacers.
Nobody deserves it more.
Yeah, good guy.
He's worked hard to get back from his injury and to prove himself.
We got to take a break and call Justin Rowland. You want to hang out or you got to get out of here? You got more wheeling and shaking to do.
I'm hanging out.
What does Patagonia mean on your hat, by the way?
You don't know what Patagonia is?
I don't know what that is.
We'll see if the caller can tell you when you come back.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. We'll call Justin Rowland. Of course, his segment presented by Shuffle Bean Coffee here on the Leach Report, which is served up by Wild Eggs. Shannon the Dude, Ryan Lemon, Todd Lander. We'll be right back on the Leach Report.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
All right, welcome back to the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. Ryan Lemon, Shannon the Dude, Todd Lanter in studio, now joined by Justin Rowland. Of course, his segment presented by Shuffle Bean Coffee. Good morning, Justin.
Ryan, what's going on, man?
Cold, very cold, 8 degrees when I took my son to school this morning. 8!
Yeah, I dropped the kids off this morning, too, and everybody's a little bit cranky. I had to walk them up to the door, and we were just not happy to see each other. We ran into our cars, and I'm ready for this to be over.
Yeah, nobody likes this. This is way too cold. Before we get into the game last night, I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, what is the latest going on with Zion Williamson? Because I guess he's set a date, but everybody says maybe Clemson's the leader. Tell me what's going on, Justin.
Well, I'm definitely more into football recruiting than basketball recruiting. But TJ does a great job, and you know, it seems like all the winds are blowing towards Clemson right now. I know Clint Jackson, somebody who covers Duke and UNC basketball recruiting on Rivals, said that he pulled 7 solid sources, and 5 said Clemson, 2 said Kentucky.
Wow.
Eric Bossy, our national guy, has said that there's all kinds of rumors blowing around. Kentucky's definitely still a dark horse, it seems like, but I think the conventional wisdom says Clemson. I'm not into saying what a kid should do, but Zion seems like the kind of guy who he's putting himself at risk if he goes somewhere where he's not going to be pushed day in, day out. But it's his decision, you know. Can't tell him what he needs to do.
Well, he's a superstar that just come, you know, like my kids know who he is just from watching him on YouTube over the last 2 or 3 years, you know?
Yep. You know, yeah, apparently there's that big pull for him to stay local, and it's tough to argue that Kentucky's batted a really good clip with pulling guys away from that local allure. But, you know, Clemson, that would be a major haul for them. But I think Kentucky's going to be okay regardless of what he does. You know, with who they're going to bring back and who they're bringing in, they're going to be okay, but he would take them to the next level for sure.
Let's talk a little more basketball before we switch over to football a little bit. Todd and I have been talking about the game last night. What was your lasting impression from the win last night at LSU?
Don't write off Gilgeous Alexander too quickly, man. I was ready to say that he took a step back last night. He started strong, then he started pushing it a little bit. And next thing you know, he's making all the clutch plays down the stretch. I know PJ played really well offensively, and Knox had an efficient offensive game, but this Gilgeous Alexander kid, I mean, I thought he was having a step back performance, and he just starts making plays in the clutch, and he's just so much better than I thought. There was so much chatter about him before the season, but you write off like the summer warriors because we've seen so many of those guys over the years, but he's been fantastic, and he's only getting better every game.
Took over last night. Like we said, he scored 13 of his 18 in the second half, and found a way to shut down or slow down Tremont Waters, who Todd and I agree was the best player on the floor last night.
Yeah, his defense. You know, Waters started pretty hot. I think he had 8 points pretty early in the game, and he really didn't do much down the stretch at all. You know, SJ was just making really clutch defensive plays. And you know, it's not a great Kentucky defensive team, but they're underrated. I think they're up to 12 in adjusted defensive efficiency right now, and they're better than they're getting credit for in the national media. I think people have got their narrative about this team fixed in their head, and they're a little bit behind the curve on where they actually are compared to the rest of the country.
All right, let's switch over to football then. I guess the story that I guess as UK football fans we follow now, are these guys that are they going to leave for the NFL? Are they just going to test the waters? Are they going to come back? Of course, we're talking about Mike West, Denzel Ware, Jordan Jones. Who's the fourth one? Is the fourth guy? Now I'm drawing. Josh Allen. What is your crystal ball prediction on what those guys will do?
Well, as far as Ware, you know, Stoops says he doesn't know if he's going to be back. I would guess that Ware is probably going to be gone just based on the way people have talked. The one that I'm most confident will leave because of his NFL draft stock is Edwards. I think Edwards, I'm not saying he's maxed out his potential, but you look at Allen, and Allen's a guy who would be drafted based on his upside. I don't know how much better, how much more Edwards can prove at the college level. He's a polished player, and I've heard somebody told me that Edwards seems like he's ready. He's ready to go. I think they're going to lose three guys. I think they'll lose Edwards, Allen, and Ware. And less confident on Allen because he's got more variance. But, you know, you lose those three guys, even two of them, and they're going to be tough to replace.
Well, that's then the question, you know. Allen and Ware, the Blitz brothers, where do we go from here?
You know, I think the pass rush is going to be better next season regardless. Even if they just bring one of those two guys back, I think Josh Pascal is poised for a breakout performance. I think Boogie Watson will be able to get after it as a linebacker. He showed a lot this year. Eli Brown should be a good blitzer. I think, and they bring back so many players on the defensive line. I think they'll move more to a four-man front defensively because of the personnel and because, you know, everybody's clamoring for it. It's a good move. They'll get more pressure from the defensive line. But I think the linebacker unit would definitely take a step back with those guys gone.
So who'd be on the line? The Bohannon kid, I guess, is going to be there. Who's going to be the other guy?
I think the starters on the line would be Middleton, Carter, Bohanna, and, you know, Pascal playing more with his hand in the dirt at 270 is definitely realistic. And, I mean, they bring back Hoskins. They bring back Calvin Taylor, who played really good in the bowl game against Northwestern. I'm actually pretty bullish on the defensive line. I think they got a lot of good young bodies there. And Jordan Wright, redshirt, a lot of people are high on Jordan Wright. I think Davion Hawkins, a true freshman, Marquand McCall, they got some college-ready guys coming in, too. So I think they can be better next year.
What about on the other side? The quarterback battle that was expected got a little thinner with Drew Barker's announcement that he was going to leave and transfer here at Christmas break. The right decision for everybody, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, if Barker wants a guaranteed opportunity to showcase himself for a year, I'm not saying he's afraid of competition, but it's a smart move. Quarterbacks look for opportunity, and he's been loyal to the program. You can't fault him for looking around. I thought the Kentucky personnel, the way that they play offense, the way they try to set their defense up, is better suited for a dual-threat quarterback than a pro-style guy. The offensive line's better at run blocking than it is in pass protection. And even if Barker had won the job, he would have had an uncomfortably tense relationship with a lot of the fan base. And so I think it's a good move for everybody all around.
So with that said, do you fully expect Terry Touchdown to win the job?
Yeah, but I don't think it's as much a given as people assume. You know, the one question I have about Terry is he had 15 turnovers in his 1 year at junior college, and a lot of that was his offensive line was young and inexperienced at the beginning of the season, really struggled. But ball control is going to be a huge emphasis with Kentucky, especially if they're reloading on defense. And reloading when you had like the 90-something ranked defense is a tall order. You know, I think he's going to get the job because of his explosive chunk play ability, but it's going to be real competition with him and Hoke. I think it's a two-man race.
He is Justin Rowland. You can follow him on Twitter at Rowland Rivals. Always a regular here on the Leach Report, of course, presented by Shuffle Bean Coffee. Justin, stay warm today, man, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you.
All right, he is Justin Rowland. We're going to take our break, come back, got more with Todd Lanter and Shannon T. Dude. Shannon's got a big wrestling match coming up Saturday, Todd.
That's right.
Big.
That's right.
Oh, we'll let Shannon tell you about it. Oh, he's big into it on Saturday. We'll be right back. Wrap it up on the Leach Report.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
All right, welcome back. Wrapping it up here on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. You never told me what Patagonia was on your hat.
At risk of sounding like an idiot, it's kind of like North Face. It's an outdoor, fishy hunting brand.
Gotcha. Obviously, I had no idea.
They make I'm not jackets that very close to North Face.
Gotcha. I'm not that hunter, fisher guy. Shannon, Saturday, Todd, putting on the Speedo, getting back in the wrestling match. Who you fighting, Shannon?
I'm fighting this little scrawny guy from WDRB, Fox 41. He's a sports reporter. His name's Mike Lissette. I like the nickname of Mike Lissuck. But I'm gonna wipe the mat with him Saturday night at OVW.
Yeah.
So if you want to come see it, it's at 4400 Shepherdsville Road right here in Louisville. Doors open at 6:30. First match is at 7:30. Let's see. Tickets are $10 or $15, I think, day of. So you can go to like ovwrestling.com and get all the details for it.
Man, I want to go so bad, but our pregame show starts at 6:30 Saturday night. My son plays at 6:30 Saturday night. I would almost trade both to go watch Shannon beat this guy up, Mike Lissuck.
That's right. I'm not going to put the Speedo on again, though. That was a one-time thing.
It's not, but you're undefeated in the Speedo.
I'm undefeated wearing anything. I've never been pinned. Pinned in a match, ever.
Now, is this for the title?
Is this
the title
fight? The World Heavyweight Radio Championship belt, which, by the way, I am the longest radio champion in OVW history.
Oh, goodness!
And I'm also the only radio champion in OVW history. So,
well, yep. Tony Vannetti sits and looks at your belt lovingly every day.
Yeah.
Wishes he had it.
He wishes. Yeah. He tried to come at me, what was it, last May?
Yeah, he got no chance.
He had no chance, man.
Tony Vannetti.
Yeah, I gave him the DDT. He was out. What's
the DDT?
It's where you take somebody's head underneath your arm and you just drive it down into the mat. I think Vannetti still has a concussion from that night.
So Saturday night, Shannon the Dude and Mike Lissuck.
That's right.
Where is it again?
4400 Shepherdsville Road. And it's going to sell out. So if you want tickets, you need to get them. It will sell
out. We're hearing through the grapevine. Matt kind of said yesterday, going to be a large contingent from WDRB there rooting on Mike Lissuck.
You think I care? That's going to be the only people in Louisville cheering for that guy. Everybody else is going to be cheering for me. I'm not worried about Barry Burnson or Candace Cliff or whoever else they got over there. He doesn't stand a chance. He could bring them in the ring with them, too. It wouldn't matter.
Well, Shannon, we wish you the best of luck to retain that belt, man. Defend your title.
Don't you worry. I'm not going to let a TV guy win a radio belt.
There you go.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Todd, thanks for coming in today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we got Tennessee on Saturday. Your thoughts?
I'm going to see practice this week.
Are you?
I'm going to go see practice.
Oh, la-di-da. You're one of the big boys.
Well, I haven't in a while. I went early on in the season a few times because I wanted to be able to speak intelligently about personnel. But I don't know. I like our progression. I think we'll do well.
It'll be tough.
I think we'll play them well.
He is Todd Lanter. He is Shannon the Dude. Ryan Lemon, Tom Leach. We'll be back tomorrow on the Leach Report. Served up by Wild Eggs. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on the Leach Report.